the light of God. I feel like I've struck gold. I've struck gold around here. Bury my heart and call it home.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Today we have been talking about San Francisco and just really how that city is so identified with the gold rush. But you know what? We had our very own gold rush right here in Georgia. And although whenever I think about California, I think about the gold rush, we had our own here right back in 1828. So the one in San Francisco wasn't until 1848. So Doc Bill, we were 20 years ahead of them.
Well, we were. I mean, the gold that was discovered here in North Georgia was incredible. I mean, you look at the gold dome down in the Capitol. That's the gold from Dahlonega.
It absolutely is. And, you know, when you think about the gold rush in the U.S., we don't think about Georgia. But really, back in 1828, like we just mentioned, there was a deer hunter named Benjamin Parks that tripped over a rock about 2.5 miles south of what is now called Dahlonega. And that really started it. He looked at it and he said, wow, look at this rock that is filled with gold. And that just brought everyone then coming to the Dahlonega area, seeing what they could find and make their fortune.
Well, they did. I mean, when you hear about it, over 15,000 miners heard about it and they came to North Georgia rushing in to try to make some gold and get that gold that they have and make some money and wealth from it. And again, a lot of the people who made most money from were people who were selling the miners the supplies and what they needed.
Yeah, you did say that in the first segment about California, and I agree with you on that. So those pans and the picks and the things like that you needed in order to really go out and see if you could find the gold is really what a lot of the businesses were doing. And then you had the miners coming in, seeing if they could actually find the gold. But now, one of the things that I found when I was looking, doing a little bit of research on this, is that there were American Indians that back in the 16th century said that they found some gold too. There are some, you know, some tales or some stories about them actually being the first to find the gold way back in the 16th century. So
that story's, you know, there's a lot of stories like that, and a lot of them were true. A lot of Native Americans knew where the gold and
the
wealth
was, yeah.
But they didn't tell because they knew that if they told where the gold was, that meant the end of their hunting lands or where they used to live. So they kept it to themselves. But as it is now, the gold is in North Georgia, and there still is gold there. But again, the logistics, where the gold's located at, and the mining rules and regulations have changed so that it's not profitable for to be large gold mining in particularly the town of Dahlonega.
Well, yeah, I know you can't. It's against the law to actually do mining in a city. And then when you think about what is involved in mining, that I guess it wouldn't be too cool to have dynamite or things that you have to use like that, you know, going on in a city. That just may not be the best thing to do. But you're right. There is still gold in the North Georgia mountains, but mining is not allowed. But you can still go panning for gold.
You can go panning for gold, and it's a neat place to do panning for gold there. And we went to the Consolidated Gold Miners and had a great time and saw the mine down there. And you actually go down in the ground and you can see streaks of certain of the minerals that gold's found in. And you go down the little caverns and stuff and you get a feel of what it was like a miner back then during that period.
You do. You definitely get a feel of it. And that was really the cool thing about it is because we went down with Miner Mike, was our tour guide's name, and he just had a wealth of information and historical information. And the neat thing, too, about going down in the mines is that there are so many things, there are tools and things that are still there right in place that you can really almost get a feel of what it would have been like to be a miner because you still have that cool dampness of being down there. So it's like it's really a reenactment of being one of those miners back in 1828.
It is. And you look at the jobs, and those guys work really hard. I mean, there are some jobs that paid more than others, but the average miner still did pretty well during that period. The one thing that amazed me was there was a job that one of the particular miners would have, and he would basically make sure that if the dynamite didn't explode, he would remove the unexploded dynamite from that hole. They were paid, I think, almost twice more than the average person who did the regular mining. And again, they also had some casualties with that. So it was a job that, you know, that had its risk.
Yeah. I'm not sure I would want that job, even with the double pay, because I wouldn't get a chance to spend it, possibly. But someone had to do it. I mean, that's true with any job. You know, there's always those positions that may be a little bit more dangerous, but certainly that one. I would think those miners would have lots of stories to tell with, you know, getting those dynamite sticks out of there. Not wanting that job, but certainly would like to hear some of the stories.
This is a nice tour to take any time of the year. Because you're underground, the temperature stays pretty much the same whether winter or in summer. And the summer is really hot. It's still pretty cool down in the mines. And it's nice and moist due to the water that's down there.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, one of the other things, too, that I really liked about the tour is that Miner Mike did a really good job of adding humor and making the tour very, very entertaining. So you don't get the feel of just, you know, kind of going down and just getting all the information, the technical information, but he made it really interesting. It really made it come alive. As I mentioned, it made it seem as though you were doing a reenactment almost of being one of the miners. So that was really, really cool. And he also said, too, that those mines were still active. So if it wasn't against the law, they could still go down there and mine for gold.
They could. And one other problem is one of the big mines they have is actually below Walmart. So I don't think they'll be going down there to get gold anytime soon. But the fact that you're in the mine, you actually get a sense. You actually see what it is to be in a mine, and you get to see that. And you also find out when you're down there looking around that there are other things other than gold. There's also gemstones down there. And that's a neat thing to also be involved in that process.
Well, that's true. That's true. Because once you are done with going down 200 feet underground and going back really virtually 100 years back in time, you can come back up and you can actually pan for gold. They have a big room set up with lots of areas where you can actually pan to see if you can find some gold. Perfect, perfect activity for the kids.
It is. And since that mine is an active mine and there's still gold in them there hills, when you do the panning and he shows you the little tricks to it, you will usually find some flakes of gold. I mean, most people will come out and they'll have a few flakes of gold in it, and that's kind of neat.
It was very neat because he did have to teach me the technique, because when I first started, I wasn't holding my pan in the right angle to get the sand to go out quickly.
That was neat. And the gemstone that you did was also kind of neat, where they bring in buckets of gems from all over the world and some local. And you get to basically go and wash those out and you find some really nice stones. And they show you what the stones look like in their raw state. And they have the option, if you want to polish some of them up and actually mount them in jewelry. And that's kind of neat.
Oh, that was probably my most fun part of the activities upstairs. It's when I got a chance to pan for the gemstones. And I think kids would really, really love that, because you're actually definitely finding something when you're panning for the gemstones. And like you said, then you can get the lesson on which gemstone it is and really how it could be put into jewelry. Or if you want to keep it in the rough stage, you can do that as well. But definitely, definitely a great activity for kids. So if you go to Consolidated Mines and you do the tour, definitely make sure you include the portion of the gemstones, because that was so much fun. So what gemstones did I find? Do you remember?
We found garnet. You found tiger's eye, mm-hmm. You know, and we also found some rubies. You know, but that's not the only place to find treasure. If you want to look for buried treasure, remember there's also Sapelo Island. Blackbeard's Island, which is across the way from Sapelo, you know, there's rumor that there's a treasure buried, either buried on the Cabrera Beach or buried on Blackbeard Island. So, you know, again, go to the Sapelo Island birdhouses.com and look up some information there and stay at the birdhouses. And if you want to, walk around on the beach looking for Blackbeard's treasure.
Now, can you go over to Blackbeard's Island?
You can, but you can't go over there to dig, and you do
oh,
not,
shucks.
And you cannot go over there and take a metal detector. You can use a metal detector on Sapelo because it's state, but federal land like that, you cannot use metal detectors.
So we'll never know if Blackbeard had a treasure over there of all these gems that I was looking for up at Consolidated Gold Mine.
That's true.
Well, I mean, it's still a good trip to go down to Sapelo, though. So tell me a little bit. I know we're shifting gears here a little bit. So tell me a little bit about what's going on in Sapelo these days. Anything coming up? I know February is right around the corner.
Yep.
And that's a good month for a romantic getaway.
Romantic giveaways. You've got Valentine's Day. It's a great month. We also are doing some work on the purple ribbon sugarcane, which is a sugarcane first developed on Sapelo Island. And we're pursuing that project. And that'll be kind of neat things coming out on that. We'll have more information on the website about that. And again, it's a great time where the fishing is really good. Cold weather is great for oysters and it's great for clams.
Well, you know, it's also a great time also, too, for people to come if they want to just get away, walk the beach, collect seashells. They have great sand dollars on Sapelo Beach all the time. You can find those. So it's great to collect those. Collect also, too, a little bit of driftwood as well. It's good to find there as well. So SapeloIslandBirdHouses.com or 912-223-6515 and come down and see if you can find your treasure on Sapelo Island. This has been a great show talking about the Gold Rush in particular, and definitely I'm ready to go back up to Consolidated Mines and do some more of that panning for those gemstones. And if you guys want to go up, please check them out as well at consolidatedgoldmine.com. And they have great hours, open 7 days a week, rain or shine, from 10 a.m. And go by and check them out. Now, when we come back for our next show, we are going to talk a little bit about some romantic things to do in your favorite city. So this has been Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Join us again in 2 weeks. You're on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN. Bye-bye.